Welcome back to Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I am your host, Paul Browning. It is week 7. We are just cruising through the NFL, right, the NFL season right now. For all those who are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching, tuning in. Let's make sure we like and we subscribe to KPPF 1040 AM and also Pat and Go with Paul Browning. To my right, I have Guy Gurton.
Hey, Paul. Good to see you, man.
Oh, man. It's great to see you. Great to have you in.
7 weeks already. It's flown by. Yes,
we're moving. And we're going to start talking playoffs here soon, right?
Absolutely.
Playoffs.
No. With that being said, I think it's time. Let's jump right into the high point. All right, so now that we are into week 7, we just had the Thursday night game. We had the Browns and the Broncos.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That guy?
Who's
that running back? Never heard of him for the Browns.
Being in Bronco country, right. A very upsetting loss. I know there was a lot of people ready to throw to get Vic Fangio
right
out of here.
Yeah, I think they're all talking about getting rid of him and going all the way up to the top too.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, with the loss, the Broncos losing Thursday night to the Browns, there was a lot of conversation on what's going on with the Broncos. Where are we at when it comes to the state of the Broncos? The Browns, and you talk about the running back, D'Ernest Johnson. Come out of nowhere.
He sliced and diced the defense. You know, that very first drive of the game, they 5 plays, was like taking candy from a baby. They just went right through. And who is this guy? I mean, he was a walk-on or a third string.
Yeah.
And still did that to the Broncos. So the defense needs some work.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was one of the things that I wanted to touch on when it comes to the Broncos. And I know a lot of people have a lot of issues when it comes to Denver, when it comes to that defense. This was something I know that I had picked early on for the Broncos to have one of the better defenses in the league. And all they've been doing this year has been giving up the big play and then not being able to stop the run. Those are huge issues when it comes to the Denver Broncos and their identity, because now you do put a lot of pressure on Teddy Bridgewater to do more than what he's supposed to. I mean, he did not play that bad of a game, last night. But now it's all on his shoulders, and you're looking at him to bring you back in the fourth quarter to make some big plays. And I think that's a lot on his shoulders.
And he was a little gimpy too with his ankle and stuff. So he played all right. You know, our linebackers for the Broncos, they we're likened to our third-string linebackers, so that kind of hurt. Alexander Johnson is out, and the defensive backs have not performed like we thought they would.
Yeah.
So they have to step it up a little bit. And then Von Miller got hurt.
Yeah, ended up getting hurt. Nothing too bad that we're thinking. It's probably just a strain. Really upsetting for Bronco country. Sorry to hear about that for them. But I think, you know, if you have any game balls from last week that you'd want to give out.
Several game balls. You know, one has to go to, I think, Aaron Rodgers. He did the discount double check.
I own you. Chicago, I own you.
He gets a game ball right there.
Definitely.
And the kicker for the Jags over in London.
Yeah.
That guy won the game for him.
And let's say this. Guy Gurton had called it last week. Said that the Jags were overdue. And I'm going to tell you what, Guy, you were absolutely incredible on the picks. You were 9-4.
Hey, man,
I just want to let you know that. For my game ball, I've got the alphabet man, CeeDee Lamb, for absolutely balling out against the New England Patriots. He actually had 9 catches for 149 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a walk-off touchdown. In OT, I think that was big time. And then also one more game ball to the Panthers safety, Kenny Robinson. Now, this one's close to my heart. This guy chooses XFL over college football to support his mother after she got cancer. He ended up being drafted by the Panthers after the XFL season was suspended, and then gets called up from the practice squad last Saturday, ends up scoring a touchdown on a block punt. So big ups to Kenny Robinson.
Hollywood movie stuff right there.
Right? 100%. But that's going to do it for High Point. We're going to take a quick little break. Once again, make sure that we're liking and subscribing on KPPF 1040 AM and also Pat and Go with Paul Browning. So this is Pat and Go with Paul Browning. See you in a second. Welcome back to Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I'm your host, Paul Browning. Got Guy Gerton to my right.
Great to be here.
Of course. We're going to jump right into flag on a play. So with flag on a play, you know, we're going to throw a flag on whatever thing is, you know, just really grinding our gears, getting us upset about the season or whatever it may be. Anything that was an issue from this past week. So, Guy, I'm going to kick it to you right now. Was there something that kind of stuck out to you last week?
A lot of plays, but one play that really stuck out, I think, is that Buffalo Bills game. Mm. You know, 20 seconds left in the game and down on the 2-yard line, fourth down. What do you do? Kick a field goal, go into overtime? No. They go for it.
They want to win it.
And did not get it. It was a gutsy call, but yeah. that was my flag.
Yeah, but I get it, and I give it to the Bills for you know, you're playing to win, and but that may be something that hurts them later on in the season. So,
could be.
100%. So I'm going to throw a flag on DK Metcalf. So if we know the saga with DK Metcalf, he went on a Twitter rant this week. Battling Shannon Sharp. That's not somebody you really want to battle.
You don't want to talk with
him. Yeah, you don't really want to talk with him, but, you know, called him a little boy and things like that. I mean, this is DK calling Shannon Sharp this, and it's like the resume that Shannon Sharp has. That's not something you want to get into with Shannon. So I'm going to throw a flag on DK. Hey, respect your elders. You got to know what's going on.
Right.
And especially it's National Tight Ends Day coming up this weekend.
Something you don't do.
You've got to give some respect on Shannon Sharp's name. So with that being said, I do want to jump into National Tight Ends Day. However, we've got a special guest with us. I want to introduce Malcolm Rubin, the quarterback for Colorado State Pueblo Thunder Wolves from 2014-2015. Absolutely just an excellent guy, excellent player. But we've got him on the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Good to see you, Malcolm.
Of course. You know, CSU Pueblo, that national championship team, you were able to get a national championship. National championship team is going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and I thought it would be really cool to have Malcolm on. Brought the bling to make sure you guys know what's going on.
I have to put my shades back on.
You get it with the shades, you know what I'm saying? But I do. Let me jump back into it. You know, being a quarterback, a lot of times the best friend is the receiver, right?
Absolutely.
But tight ends, they need some love too.
Certainly.
So let's do this. Who's your GOAT tight end?
Man, this is hard. I mean, there's so many. You got Tony Gonzalez. Oh my gosh, this is hard. Mm-hmm. My favorite tight end all time. There's only one player in the history of the NFL who has more postseason receiving touchdowns than this guy, and he's Hall of Famer Jerry Rice, right?
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski,
big Gronk spike. I like it.
Gotta do it.
It's a good pick.
Guy, where are we going?
Of all time. That's so brutal. You know, Shannon Sharp is incredible, but I got to go with Riley Odoms. Ooh. If you remember Riley with the Broncos back, do you remember Riley?
Yeah. He's taking it back.
That guy, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Definitely. There's plenty of great tight ends. You look at, you know, Max McGee back in the day. You look at Kellen Winslow. And I really love Tony Gonzalez, and I want to go Tony Gonzalez, but this is what I'm going to do, and I know a lot of people, especially the older generation, may look at me and go, hey, what are you doing? Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why I say Travis Kelce, what he's doing, the way he runs his routes in a game where the tight end is basically the receiver, and he is the prominent receiver on that Kansas City Chiefs team, and that offense is spectacular.
Yeah.
I got to give it to Travis Kelce. I'm going to do that. Let's transition a little bit, though. There's a lot of teams that are on the brink, the Chiefs being one of them. But there's a lot of teams that are separating themselves. You have the Green Bay Packers are doing an excellent job. You know, the Ravens, they're playing like a powerhouse. Dallas Cowboys may be the best team in the NFC. The Cardinals, you know, these teams are separating themselves. But there's certain teams that are on the brink. I want to jump in there, and we're going to do a little sink or swim. So I'm just going to, you know, fire some teams at you guys. You guys let me know if this team is sinking or swimming going on later into the season. So number one, the Browns, who were just coming off a victory last night. They are now 4-3. Baker Mayfield is still out, though. They played really well. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt also out. Jarvis Landry's back in the lineup. Defense is playing pretty well. Are the Browns going to sink or swim through the season?
Swim.
I agree. Swim. They got quite the team, and what they did last night just showed it.
Yeah,
third stringers.
Definitely. So then on the other side, we're dealing with the Denver Broncos. Four straight losses.
paddling. They're paddling water.
They're paddling. Yeah, they're sinking, man.
They're going to sink.
Sure.
They're going to sink.
I don't know if they'll sink yet, but it's getting close. They got to do something. They play Washington next.
Yep.
10-day rest here. That's a must. Yeah. That's a must win.
And that's a really tough AFC West that they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Let's go straight over to the Patriots. They have yet to win back-to-back games this year. They are 2-4. Are they sinking and swimming?
Sinking, man.
They're sinking.
They're going to sink.
Yeah.
They're done. They're going down.
Sorry, Bill. Bill Belichick, we love
that's
you.
That's right.
The Colts, 2-4, lost all games by less than 12 points, and they're coming off a huge win against Houston. Sorry. Hometown Houston guy.
Hero right here.
Yeah. Colts, sinking or swimming?
I'm saying sinking.
I'm going to say swimming because I think they're flying under the radar just a little bit. If they get some breaks, they're swimming.
Yeah, no.
They're still in it.
I like it. Now, let's do this one, the Seahawks. No Russell Wilson. Looks inconsistent all year. Where are we going?
As much as I love Geno Smith,
yeah,
they're sinking.
Sink.
Another tough division there.
It's a really tough division.
Yeah, so they're sinking.
Perfect, perfect. And then the Niners coming off of a bye week after three straight losses. They are 2-3. What's going on with the Niners?
They're sinking in that division, yeah.
Definitely.
They're sinking.
You got the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, really difficult. And then the last one, the Panthers, they haven't won a game since week three. Still no C-Mac. Christian McCaffrey, sink or swim.
Wow. Until they get him back, they're sinking.
Okay.
Yeah, sinking. I think they're sinking.
Okay, that was our sink or swim. But that's going to do it for Flag on the Play, and that was brought to you by Castle Roofing, handling all your roofing needs. Make sure that we're liking and subscribing on YouTube at Pat and Go with Paul Browning or KPPF 1040 AM Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to go under the hood. This is Pat and Go with Paul Browning. Welcome back to Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I am your host, Paul Browning. I've got Guy Gurton in the building.
Great to see you.
Oh, man.
Talking
great
football.
To see you. You know, always. Nothing better than talking football.
That's right.
We also have Malcolm Rubin, quarterback from CSU Pueblo, the national championship team in the building.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I love it. I love it. This is a huge weekend and for CSU Pueblo, and especially that national championship football team. So we are actually going to go under the hood with CSU Pueblo.
Do it.
So now that we're going under the hood, that's any time that we want to kind of do a deep dive on any type of topics, things involving usually the NFL. But I thought since this is an excellent time to talk about that national championship CSU Pueblo football team, they are going into the Hall of Fame this year. I say they like I'm not a part of it, but that's what's happening.
Huge part.
But yeah, we are definitely going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and I think it's a long time coming, even though it's only been 6 years. Seven? Is it six or seven? I think it's six.
It's going on seven.
It's going on 7 years.
Yeah. We're 2014.
Getting old. So, but right, slow down, right?
Slow down.
I wanted to kind of get your opinion on some of the things. This weekend is pretty big. You flew in from Houston. Tell me a little bit, or tell our viewers a little bit about one, your background on getting into CSU Pueblo.
Well, I'm a transfer. I transferred into CSU, and the first person that I met at the university was actually this guy, Paul. Got to hang out. He kind of set the precedence for all things CSU. We talk about that national championship team and just what it means to be the best at anything. There was no one in the country who was working harder than us, and we had some of the sharpest guys on the team, some of the best athletes, but also – we just had a really good culture. We had a very dynamic culture. You think about teams like the Patriots and why they're able to be so good for so long.
Yeah.
It's because of the culture that they were able to create, and we had that same thing at CSU Pueblo. So I'm excited to get back around the guys, man. It's going to be a lot of laughs. It's going to be a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of memories shared. It's
got a question. That's the center for the Bucks who's hiking now to Tom Brady. Was he your center?
Ryan Jensen. He was not my center. Got to meet him a few times. Okay. Didn't take any snaps from him, though. But
I know we're going to talk about guys in the NFL, but he's a guy who's doing well.
Certainly. Yeah. Absolutely. He certainly represents CSU Pueblo very well.
Absolutely.
We actually had a stint where we had, in 2 years, we had three NFL players that had graduated from CSU Pueblo. So, I mean, that's a huge in the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's something that is
– that Mike Pinnell,
Ryan Jensen, Morgan Fox. Back-to-back years.
Yep.
We had three guys in the Super Bowl. And that's something that is just so special for a D2 program to have. Guy, I mean, you've been able to cover sports for a while. You know, what's one of the things when you look at, you know, certain championship teams, like the X factor thing about that team? Do you usually notice a certain thing about?
Well, you bet. Well, chemistry, like Malcolm was talking about, yeah, too, is very important, and they have it there. And that coach has done an extremely good job.
Risto. John Risto.
Yeah, big Rist.
There he is. But what they've been able to build, and like you say, the athletes that have come through there, especially on a smaller school, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It really has been.
Let's zero in a little bit more on national championship team, though. We had, what, six guys end up going to the NFL that year.
That year.
That national championship year. That was more than CU Boulder had.
That tells you something right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Fort Collins had. So it was a pretty big thing.
I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this on the air, but I'm just saying, we could have put that 2014 team up against any school in Colorado.
Yeah.
And would have dominated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So we had went down to your hometown. Well, not Houston, but we went down to Texas. We went down to Texas, and we actually played. I remember playing Sam Houston,
absolutely,
and they were Division I AA team, FCS.
We ate their lunch.
They were ranked, and they actually went to the playoffs and went pretty far into the playoffs.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what did we beat? We beat them with 42,
40 like six or something like that. We ate that. Oh my gosh, took all their lunch money.
There you go. Very good team.
That's the way to do it.
Very good team. Yeah. Do you have any memories that really stick out from that season?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Fall camp. This is the first summer that I'm in Colorado. We're in the calf. We're eating. All the football players are eating. And the volleyball girls.
Oh, there you go.
Are in the cafe as well. And if you guys know Paul Browning, you guys probably don't know that he has a bit of a musical talent as well. Well, Paul and the team captain of the volleyball team are both artists.
Okay.
So we had like a rap battle.
Oh, in the center nice. Of the cast. I wish I'd have been there.
Oh, my gosh. You talk about, it was crazy, man. People was dropping lines and there's chairs flying in the air because everyone's so excited. It was incredible, man. Favorite moment of that season. Aside from winning all the games,
right.
But favorite moment from that season.
Yeah. I mean, because there was you know, that was us being able to start that season off really at a high note, you know, beating
absolutely.
Sam Houston.
Absolutely.
Had a lot of injuries going through on that season, but then we lost. To Fort Lewis.
Fort Lewis.
Yeah.
A game we should have won by maybe 50.
Right, right. Ended up winning all of our games after that, and then getting into the playoff. You know, what was something that was on your mind, you know, when it came to that playoff run when we were actually like – when did you know? You were like, okay, this would be a national championship here.
You know what? I think once we beat West Georgia,
mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? We're going all the way.
Yeah.
West Georgia was, in my opinion, West Georgia was the national championship game. Right. That was an extremely tough team.
Yeah.
And we played in some very difficult, you know, weather as well. It was freezing. It was like 8 degrees that day.
Yeah.
We played. Yeah. It was a very low scoring game, but we fought tooth and nail. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think after that, it was like, okay, we're going all the way.
We've got it.
I see.
They're off to a little slow start this year with a couple of losses, but they're coming back.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to end up asking you. What is something that just want to close this? What's something that from that national championship season that you would want to impart onto that new CSU Pueblo team or upcoming freshmen that are coming in? What's something you would want to impart on that?
Man, it's more than just about you.
Yeah,
it's more than just about you. I think the what really separated us on that team was just how everyone on that team. I could look at anyone across from me, and I would know that they would be willing to run through a brick wall for me.
Yep.
And I would do the same.
Right, right.
It was like it's like a murderous rhythm. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's
they need
we
to
were
get
very,
you to get there and talk to them right now.
Absolutely, man. I don't know. Maybe I might need to. It's a
you
very
need to get down there, right?
It's a very violent. A very violent essence that we had on that team that I feel like everyone would ride for everybody.
Yeah.
We were some fighters.
Yeah.
We were some fighters. We did it the right way, but we were some dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We really were. I can't say that enough. We were.
Yeah.
Think about Lace. You think about CJ. You think about Morgan and Tony. Oh, my God. Yeah. Just them two alone.
Over six, we had six players in that one year, and then she probably had about 10 different players end up getting themselves on NFL roster throughout that time. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But I want to close out the Under the Hood segment. You're going to stay around so we can do some picks?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, perfect. So that was Under the Hood, brought to you by Lavish Lashes. That's Hair and Fashion. They're going to take care of all of that for you guys. Malcolm knows a little thing about fashion. That's going to be a quick little break. We'll come back. We'll do 50-50. This is Pat and Go with Paul Browning. Welcome back to Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I'm your host, Paul Browning. I've got Guy Gurton with me.
Great to be here again. I'm telling you what, getting ready for those picks.
Oh, yeah, ready for picks. We've got Malcolm Rubin, quarterback CSU Pueblo, 2014 National Absolutely. Championship quarterback.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, great of to course, see Malcolm, of course. Oh, yeah, man. So, hey, you're going to be a part of 50-50. Let's pick them.
Let's do it.
So 50-50, we're going to pick all the wins from that are this upcoming week. I'm at 53-33. Mike is at 55-31. I'm trying to catch him. Guy, you're at 9-4.
I'm just
you're
coming
off to
in.
A strong start, so yes, we might have to go percentage on here.
Okay. Pick those Detroit Lions, and they lost last week.
Yeah, let's maybe not do Detroit again, right? So let's get right into it. First off, we have the Chiefs and the Titans. This is a really tough game usually. It's in Tennessee.
Ooh.
The Chiefs have the spread, 4.5-point spread. Heading to KC. I'm going to go with the Titans, though.
I have the Chiefs defense in my fantasy, but going with the Titans.
I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs. I'm sorry. I think they're catching their stride. Come on.
No. That's not a bad pick. We do have Carolina heading up to the New York Giants, though. You know, the last time we had the Panthers in in New York, we had that Odell Beckham Josh Gordon fiasco, right? Carolina does have the 3-point spread. I'm also going to go Carolina.
Carolina for me.
I'm going Carolina as well.
Yeah. No doubt. We've got the Jets heading up to New England. This is a great rivalry. New England has the 7-point spread. That's a huge spread, right? I am going to go New England.
Yeah. I'm going New England too.
They're at home, you said, right? New England? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pats are going to win that.
Jets are coming off a bye week. We may see them play pretty well. They had a win the last time they were on the field. So
hey, the Broncos beat the Jets, so.
Hey.
So the Pats are going to beat them, right?
Yeah. We've got the Washington football team heading up to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. Packers have a 7.5-point spread headed their way. I'm going to stick with Green Bay.
I'm going with Green Bay.
The Pack at Lambeau, tough to beat.
Oh, yeah.
The Pack.
Definitely. Atlanta heads down to Miami. And they have the Atlanta has a 2.5 point spread heading their way. I'm going to go Atlanta.
You know what? I'm actually going Miami.
You're going Miami.
Yeah,
I'm agreeing with Malcolm. I think Miami's going
to
pull it out.
It's about their time. It's about time for them to make some things happen. We've got Cincinnati, really tough team, heading up to Baltimore. Baltimore does have
that's
6-point spread. I'm going to stay with Baltimore.
That's a toss-up right there. I'm going to go with Baltimore because they're at home.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever bet against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, good point.
At some point, you will. I don't think they're going to go 16-0 or 14-1. At some point, you're going to have to.
Cincinnati, though, they're a team to reckon with.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, definitely. Let's see how we do on this one, right? Detroit.
I think they're going to win one of
no
these.
No hate for Detroit, right?
One of these days.
They're heading out to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Rams have a 15-point spread headed their way. I'm going to go with the Rams.
You have to.
That's about as big of a spread you get right there.
There's actually a larger one.
Oh, yeah, there is. All right. The Rams will win that one.
Rams, sure.
Perfect. Okay, we have Philly heading out to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. The Raiders have a 3-point spread, but I'm still going to go with the Eagles.
I'm going Eagles.
I think the Raiders still figuring out the coach. I'm going Eagles.
Yeah, they got a lot of adversity in their locker room right now.
Yeah. Chicago heading out to Tampa Bay. The Bucks are the Bucks. It is what it is. 12.5-point spread heading to Tampa Bay. I'm going to stick with that. Tampa Bay going to do this.
Yeah. Going Tampa.
Bucks.
Tampa,
at home,
Tampa.
You bet.
Perfect. Yep. Now for the largest spread, 17.5-point spread.
Please
headed
don't be Houston.
To Houston Texans are going out to play the Arizona Cardinals.
Man.
Arizona 6-0, first time since 1974. I'm going to go Arizona.
It's Houston.
I'm going Arizona, man. I have to. It wouldn't make sense not to.
They're a fine oil machine right now.
They
Murray.
Are.
Arizona's going to win
Arizona.
That one.
Yeah. For the last two games, we have the Colts heading out to San Francisco. San Francisco has a 4-point spread. I'm going to go San Fran.
I think I'm going San Fran as well.
I'm going Colts on this one. Indianapolis.
And then the Monday night game, we have the Saints heading out to Seattle. New Orleans has the 4-point spread. I'm going to go Seattle.
I'm going to New Orleans, man.
I'm going to New Orleans.
I'm going to New Orleans.
We're going to do it.
Seattle's kind of sinking in our sink and swim.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So. That is going to actually do it for Pat and Go with Paul Browning. Remember, if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe to KPPF 1040 Radio and also Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I thank Guy Gerton.
Great to be here again.
I thank Malcolm Rubin.
Thanks for having me, man.
You guys enjoy the games this weekend. This is Pat and Go with Paul Browning. I'll see you next week.